Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Now, Massachusetts has seen more than 1,000 new coronavirus cases per day for the last 4 days. That is the highest it's been since last spring. Earlier this afternoon, Governor Charlie Baker took the stage at the State House. He didn't announce any new restrictions in response to the uptick, but he said this.
Our young people need to be serious about dealing with COVID. We get the fact that for many young people, they have mild symptoms or in some cases, no symptoms at all. But their contact, especially close informal contact indoors, can create terrible circumstances for many of our most vulnerable. People really need to stop hosting big parties. And I say that as Halloween approaches.
And not to mention Thanksgiving. So we wanted to spend just a couple of minutes getting a doctor's perspective on what the numbers mean. Joining us is Dr. Benjamin Linus. He's an infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center, an associate professor of medicine and epidemiology at the Boston University School of Medicine. Welcome back, Dr. Linus.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I want to dive straight to the heart of this because the governor cited some of the latest data showing a particular increase in the spread among people under 30. Now, in the spring, we saw, you know, particular concerns over spread for people over 60. What are the implications of a surge in cases among a younger generation of adults like this?
Sure. Well, I think that the main implication of potential spread amongst younger people is that younger people have less serious outcomes with COVID, and so hopefully that will result in the short term at least, less demand on our hospital beds. However, if the reason that we're seeing a disconnect between rising cases and rising mortality is simply about the epidemiology and the fact that right now it's younger people who seem to be contracting the infection, that's not a durable form of protection, right? It's unlikely that this virus is going to stay isolated within the younger population for too long. So it might, I hope, provide us some relief as we're preparing for a second surge, but I don't think that we can sit on our haunches and assume that because this is in a younger population, it's going to be entirely different this time around.
I'm taken by this phrase you just used, durable form of protection. Our numbers were down in the summer. We were taking steps. They are back up now. It makes one wonder, short of a vaccine, is there a truly durable form of protection for the people of the Commonwealth?
Right. Well, I think that that's the $64,000 question. I agree. I don't think that we are yet doing everything that we possibly could be doing in terms of masking and social distancing to really throw in the towel and say that there's nothing we can do with behavioral interventions beyond vaccine. I think that, you know, I've been impressed. I think that anecdotally, as I walk around in Boston area, Boston Metro, almost everyone has some form of a mask on their person when they're out in public. We're not all doing the best that we can actually wearing those masks. And I think all of us can walk around and see instances of people who are certainly violating masking policies. I also think that we need to double down a bit on our distancing and think carefully about public gatherings and about things like indoor dining. We know that there are data that things like indoor dining and gyms and gatherings indoors are what are driving the pandemic. And I think we need to be open to the fact that we may need to pause in our reopening and potentially even step back in some sectors if we really want to control this disease.
So let's get really specific about indoor gatherings because we are close to two holidays. When we say indoor gatherings, are you talking about a house party with 50 people inside a house, or are you talking about 8 people from 2 families who have been in a bubble together and are sitting together in one home? What do we mean about the spread coming from indoor gatherings?
Right. I think that's a great question. So the easy one, which I think everyone who's listening knows the answer to, is that the house party with 50 people is not an appropriate thing at this time and is certainly going to be driving transmission. However, I find it frustrating when our governor and others point the finger at young people having house parties as if the kids these days are what's driving the greatest pandemic in our lifetime. Certainly there's responsibility to be had there. That's definitely a part of the problem. But to suggest that all this is being driven by irresponsible children having high school house parties is just not true. It's on all of us. And when we say indoor gatherings, that includes things like three families gathering together potentially indoors, right? Small gatherings from people who you think you know, who you do know well, and that you feel confident, quote, don't have COVID. Those are the gatherings that cause transmission because really, with rare exception, no one thinks they're walking into an exposure situation when they're exposed to COVID, right? It always comes out of the blue. And so we really have to take it upon ourselves, all of us, to recognize that some things that seem safe and feel reasonable aren't right now. And that really it should be limited to something like a small gathering of just two households. And even things like Thanksgiving dinners are going to be problematic.
So, Dr. Linus, the governor was asked about going back to some kind of large-scale shutdown like we saw earlier this year by a reporter today, and he basically ruled it out. Here he is.
Well, I think what you're going to see us seek to do is to take advantage of the data and the information that we have now that we didn't have last spring and pursue what I would describe as targeted interventions. The hockey thing is a good example of that.
And just for perspective, the hockey thing was that the governor mentioned mm-hmm. an order that ice rinks closed until November 7th because of clusters of spread associated with the sport. You and some colleagues wrote a piece in Stat News today saying, quote, we should be open to the idea of a limited period of lockdown, strict stay-at-home orders, end quote. Targeted versus broad scale, what are you advocating for and under what circumstances?
Sure. I mean, I think it's really difficult. All of us are trying to figure this out. I can say one thing that I find very frustrating is that at this point in the epidemic, now almost 9 months in, our options are relatively limited. I think that the closure of the ice rinks was actually fairly novel in Massachusetts in the sense that it is an attempt at a more precise, limited shutdown in order to achieve the results that we need. But in general, right, we haven't done the work in this country to understand where the transmission is happening. And so that makes it very difficult to have surgical or precise interventions. Imagine if we had done the work to do the testing and the contact tracing on a large scale around the country to really understand where the transmission is happening and how. Then we could intervene in those places and not be forced with blunt interventions like general closure. I agree, general closures are going to be very, very challenging, and I don't know if there's an appetite for that now, but that's sort of where we are. We really don't have a lot of precise interventions to bring to play.
So we have a little less than a minute left. Are you saying that contact tracing and testing in a single state is insufficient, that there has got to be nationwide coordinated efforts in order to put ourselves in a situation of quite more durable form of protection?
Yes, I think that a national plan for it requires a national plan for COVID control, and what that looks like is a national masking mandate, a serious attempt at social distancing, and understanding where the transmission is happening, which means broad scale testing and contact tracing, such that we can then identify the places that the disease is being transmitted, and then have specific interventions in those locations, so that all of us can return to work and to school and get back to our lives.
And that is Dr. Benjamin Linus, an infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center and associate professor of medicine and epidemiology at the BU School of Medicine. Thanks so much.
It's my pleasure to be here.